Hello. Welcome to Intellicast, everyone. Hi, my name is Brian Lamar. This is Brian Peterson. Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
All right. Season 5, episode 23. Chugging along a little bit here in the summer.
This was impromptu. I'll tell you that. I'll say that because I pinged you an hour ago. Hey, do you want to do this?
Well, I was out of town the last few days, and tomorrow's a big meeting day. And next week, I'm out all week.
Yep.
So it's really now or never. Let's just freaking do it. Let's do it live. This is kind of like the old days a little bit.
Zero prep.
Yeah. But, you know, there's not a ton going on. And so, hey, thanks for listening. Hope this episode is valuable for you. We know your time. You only have so many podcasts you can listen to. So thanks for listening to this one. This is brought to you by EMI Research Solutions. You can reach us at intellicast@emi-rs.com. Follow us on Twitter, EMI_research. Or in Telecast 1, you can leave us a voicemail or a text at 513-401-5463. Can I ask you a question before we get started?
Sure.
How much did you edit the last podcast we did about our sample quality optimization rating where I said the word score, which is, we're allowed to say the word score.
So here's a little how the sausage is made. I didn't edit that one.
Oh, good for you.
I had assistant producer Emma do it. So I have no idea.
Oh,
I got swamped with something and didn't have a chance. Otherwise it wouldn't have gone out.
I wonder if she had, did she just probably clean it up like normal?
Probably. Okay, yeah, she didn't say, hey, should I cut this? So it's out there.
Good. So, you know, we've recently launched a new product. We call it Score. Spell that however you like. There's no official spelling of it. I know how not to spell it. I do know that much.
Yeah.
But we're really proud of it. We did a webinar. Lots of stuff out there about it on social. You can find out about it and we can move on from that. Traveled all week. Was in Georgia, North Carolina. Drove home through North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, and Kentucky yesterday.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
Why did you guys drive from Greensboro back home?
Great
versus
question.
Getting in and getting on a flight anywhere from Greensboro, Charlotte, Nashville.
Great question.
Name a few others.
We looked at Raleigh-Durham. We looked at Greensboro. We looked at Charlotte. There was one flight, I think it was from Charlotte, that could get us home, but there was like a 6-hour layover in Newark, and we wouldn't get home until like 11 p.m., I think, maybe 10 p.m. And we felt with what's going on with airlines that it would be canceled. Now, there were early morning flights. We could have got on like a 7 a.m. flight or like a 7 or 8 p.m. flight, but we didn't trust it. And we felt, you know what, we're in more control. It was predictable. Like nothing was going to, I mean, as long as we had the rental car, nothing was going to cancel us, right? We're going to get home.
Yeah.
Maybe an hour later than normal. Believe me, we looked at a million different flights. It was horrible, actually. But yeah, we drove it home through the mountains.
That just seems odd with all of the airports you guys were around that you drove home.
Yep, we looked all three airports. Disappointing, but it was kind of fun, you know. Two of us in a car for, let's see, we left at 7:40 a.m. and got to Cincinnati about 7 p.m. So, you know, 11 hours.
So did you guys trade off driving or did one of you just do all the driving?
I drove the first hour and then he drove the last like 8, but I drove all day the day before.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, we traded off, it was just kind of like a handoff. I do the first half, you do the second half. He drove definitely more than me, but I got to drive all the little trips, like 15 minutes here and 30 here and 20 here.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's current events. I drove home yesterday, pretty tired, but we still have normal day today.
For us, we are getting ready for my kids to go back to school in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks now, called 10 days. Yeah. So it's surprising because it's mid-August and it seems a little early to me because I always went back. We always knew first day of school was the day after Labor Day.
Yeah.
I like that now, apparently.
Yeah.
I just think August, mid-August is too early. There's still 2 weeks where it's going to be bloody hot out here and that you could be going to the pool. Instead, you're going to be sitting in a classroom. But I digress.
Yeah. Everything's all messed up now. But, well, that's fun. We get kind of some normalcy back to your life, right?
A little bit. A little more routine than what they've had the last month or so.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
So you are actually going to be at a conference next week. You are going to be speaking at a conference next week. It is the Future of Insight Summit down at the University of Georgia, down in Athens. You and our own Beth Tehan will be down there. Do you want to give us a preview of what people can expect from this under the radar conference?
I'm the keynote. I'm just kidding. I speak early in the morning, though, which I like to do. I'm a morning person. I like to get it done and over with, so I'm early. My title of what I'm speaking about is the commoditization of sample and how it's jeopardizing the industry. I'm about 90%, 95% done with it. So it's still a week away, almost exactly a week away. And I'm excited about it because, you know, I love talking about sample. And a lot of my friends and former classmates are there. A lot of people I've known for a long time. Instructors, I love being on campus. A lot of the current students and future students possibly will be there. But man, there's a ton of people. I don't know if you looked at the list, but like everybody is there. So many cool brands and awesome research companies, like the local ones. Burke is sending some people, Directions Research is sending some people, Market Vision Research is sending some people. All of them have hired MMRs in the past. And then just about anybody that's hired an MMR is sending somebody. 8451 will be there. A lot of Georgia companies, obviously. And it's kind of fun. It's a different conference than most. It's in a classroom, which is, when I say classroom, it's not the classroom that you remember from the 80s. It is a beautiful, modern amphitheater classroom.
Lecture hall.
Yeah, it's a lecture hall that probably seats, I don't know, 300 people, maybe more. It's beautiful. So I'm excited about that. Other speakers, let's see, Eli Lilly is speaking. I'm followed immediately after mine will be Melanie Courtwright of the Insight Association. Probably everybody knows her. Dan Foreman from Zappi, Greg Archibald from Gentoo Advisors, but he's also kind of runs IIAX, and Mary Drummond from Worthix. So right after me, there's a really cool panel about the future of marketing research, which who knows what they'll say about what I'm going to say about the commoditization of sample. So that'll be interesting. You know.
Do you think they'll invite you to stay on for the panel?
No.
After what you say?
No. No, they're awesome. So I'm not really that nervous about it. But, you know, lots of cool speakers. I know a lot of people. I heard from a couple of people this past week that had applied to speak and were not selected. I know that feeling. We know that feeling very, very well.
We do.
So I'm proud to have been selected. Shapiro and Raj and Skim, Material. Hillary DeCampus speaking for Material. She's amazing. So lots of good speakers, lots of good people. Kind of a friendly, it's a little bit different environment than most conferences. There's not like a vendor hall. There's not any like selling. It's more of like, hey, these are my friends and family, even though we're all competitors. It's more like that, and there's an educational element to it as well. So I don't get down to Georgia very often, or at least the University of Georgia. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm bringing the dog. My dog's a bulldog. Bonnie's a bulldog. And so my goal, other than to nail the presentation and not make us look stupid, is to sneak onto Sanford Stadium and with Bonnie and try to find the national championship trophy. That's my side goal. My goal this past week, though, was to go see, I didn't even tell you this, I wanted to see Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Where did you get to?
And so I went. I've never been there before. It's about 8 p.m. Still light out, but, you know, it's late. Walked right by it. Didn't even know it was Cameron Indoor Stadium because it's a really cool building. It's old and, you know, it looks like if you designed a Harry Potter version of athletic basketball stadium, that's what it looks like. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
So it took me a few minutes to find it. You know, it looks like something you see in Harry Potter. And but I didn't get to sneak in. I tried every door, didn't get in. But I could kind of peer in a little bit.
So. Well, it's kind of hard. It's not, one, college is out for summer break, and two, it's not basketball season.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think if you had gone during like the day, you might have had a better chance because you'll have players in there working out, yeah, and all that. So
they said there's a museum connected to it, which is really cool. You can see it from the windows. And they said, I think it's open 11 to 4. I'm assuming it's free. And you can see the court from the museum. So I should have come during normal business hours, but, you know, I had stuff to do. But anyway, I'm going to do the same thing in Georgia and try to see the national championship trophy. And if I get a picture of my dog with it, that'll be kind of cool.
That will be.
Yeah. So that's next week.
So, as you were mentioning that, I had a thought of what a good analogy for this conference would be. I know I called it under the radar. You said, hey, it's like just a bunch of friends getting together with an educational component.
Yeah.
Would calling it Myrtle Beach before it got all commercialized be a good analogy for this conference? Because the commercialization would be all of like the vendor fair and all of that.
Maybe.
Or am I just on vacation mind?
Maybe. I don't know if I had to use a vacation spot to describe this conference. It might be something like one of the beaches, like in Rhode Island or Massachusetts.
Okay.
Up there, you know, it's a little classy, not too kitschy. You're getting judged probably, but they're all your friends. That's how I would probably describe it.
Okay. All right. I like it. I like it.
Yeah. The Kennedys are nearby. I don't know. It's kind of, it's just different. Well, and then we're going to the Insight Association one in September. And that's
the gotcha. Other in the corner. Yeah. No, I have vacation brain because I've been trying to book something, a anniversary vacation for my wife and I. Yeah. And apparently fate has decided that is not happening. So we had something, we had 2 weekends thought out. We were waiting on the final word from my in-laws who were going to come watch the kids to go. And we had 2 places picked depending on the weekend. And then Thursday last week, my wife got jury summons.
Oh,
starting, she is a petit juror from September 1st to December 28th to the point where, and she knows the judge in the county I live in. And she's like, yeah, he won't let me out of this. It doesn't matter. Like it says on there, if you have vacation scheduled to send it, they may approve it. I'm like, so I said, are we sure? Does that mean like if we book something and they'll be like, nope, and we're not going to get a refund? She goes, yeah, pretty much. Like, cool. That's why I have a little bit of vacation brain, because I was going down that rabbit hole for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yikes. Those things never come at a good time, I guess.
No.
I've never been picked for jury before, which I'm really disappointed about, because I would love to do my civic duty. You know how I am about civic duty.
I know.
I'd love to get picked someday.
Yeah. So I have been a petit juror for my county where I live, and literally I had to call every Friday for 3 months. Never got called in, but it's like, nope, we don't need you. Nope, we don't need you. But you couldn't, you could not plan anything because you didn't know from that. You called Friday to find out if you had needed to show up on Monday. So you really couldn't plan a single thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
so sorry for that segue.
Double trouble.
Yeah. So let's get some, we got a few market research news stories to touch on. So let's jump into them. First up, Dynata has expanded its partnership with Google in that they are now approved to measure YouTube lift as part of digital ad campaigns. What do you think about that?
I mean, a good move for Dynata. Partnering with Google, probably that's an amazing thing. Who wouldn't want that, right? And it's good for our industry. Dynata, big brand. I don't know how accurate ad measurement can be with that model, but I'd love to hear more. If someone would like to come on and talk more about it from a sampling standpoint, I'd love to hear more. They've obviously done ad effectiveness for a long time. I don't know what that sample blend looks like with all their different assets and what they're doing. But they do other media as well, other digital, not just digital media, they do other media. So it's obviously a good deal for Dynata, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and what seemed to be advertiser product and partnership day, within hours of that coming out, Disco debuted a new product called Outcome Lift to enable advertisers to measure incremental impact of cross-platform ad campaigns.
Yeah.
It felt like I was almost reading the same press release.
Well, I love the kind of cross-platform stuff, and we should be better at that. Like they talk about consumer journey, and that is... if you can start looking at, if marketers and researchers can start to really better understand that consumer journey while abiding by all privacy laws, and that's the challenge. Mm-hmm. If you can understand it cross-platform, that's hard to do. People have been trying to crack that forever. But the way that most consumer journeys work is you might see a TV ad, and then you go on your laptop and you research the products. And then you think about it, and then the next day you're at work and you get on your smartphone and you Google something else, and then you hear a different ad or a pop-up comes up, and then you go to the store or you buy it on Amazon. So that journey, how do you measure that? It's really, really hard. and people don't, you know, people are really bad. Consumers are really bad. Respondents are really bad at telling that story. Like, oh, I saw an ad. The, you know, people don't have that kind of recall.
It's never generally. Very linear. It's never linear. Oh, right? I saw an ad. I went and bought it. We go.
Right. From a marketing standpoint, it's the same thing. So Disco, let's get back to the story, passively measuring all these journey touch points developed to provide increased visibility to the entire CX journey from search to e-commerce. And it's pretty cool stuff. It's also been launched in response to the, you know, everything going on with cookies and mobile ID and privacy. So I'm rooting for this. I think our industry needs a solution like this. Brands will pay for this if it's effective. And so I love it. And good for them driving kind of innovation. I'm sure, I don't know if this is probably not the first one of these to hit the market, but I like it a lot. Dynata, who we just talked about, is probably doing something similar. And if so, kudos to them as well. I don't want to just praise Disco. If Dynata is doing that, good for them. I'm just not aware of it.
Yeah.
They probably are, though, given, you know, their expertise in this realm. But yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. The customer journey is a tough thing to measure.
It is. I mean, it's, as I mentioned, it's not linear. It's you could have saw a flyer you got from like Sunday ads to seeing a traditional over the air TV commercial to seeing a video ad pop up on YouTube to seeing a billboard to hearing an ad on when you were streaming Spotify. So how much did each of those impact it?
Right.
Like, yeah. I guarantee you, not everyone measures every single touch that it's happened, but they happen. And then how much did each of those ones that maybe they don't remember lift that up, cause them to kind of push it over the edge?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's, you know, the influence of your coworkers and getting feedback from other people that might have that product, right? I don't know. It's just so hard to measure. Yeah. We're weird creatures. Yeah. That's really tough to do.
Yeah. Next up, IRI and NPD announced that they have completed their merger. We talked about this several months back when it was announced, but it's now completely closed.
Good. I love it when things happen quick like that. So that's awesome. I'm interested to see what they do with the brand names. That's obviously the most important thing to me is what they do. Are they going to keep IRI and NPD separate? Will they do some sort of like, you know, this one brand name win? Does one go away? I'm hoping they keep those. Are two iconic brands. And so there may not be the more modern brand name types. You know, those are old school brand names, right? IRI, NPD.
Can we combine the two? Call it Drippin?
Yeah, something like that, right? NERPID. But I don't know. But you can probably figure something out. But that's all I care about. But I'm happy that they got that done and approved. So that was really quick.
Yeah. Our last story, and probably the one that interests both of us the most, was that the Senate Appropriations Committee has voiced concerns regarding the U.S. Census's plan to create a probability-based panel called the Ask U.S. Panel for tracking public opinion. The reason that the Senate Appropriation Committee has voiced concern was over lack of transparency. They outlined their concerns about the absence of transparency related to the Census Bureau's plans, particularly given when it describes as the lack of congressional authorization and the, quote, expanding scope of the project since it was initially announced. The committee has now has directed the Census Bureau to provide a report on the panel's methodology, data collections process, implementation, and what has incurred in projected costs and procurement strategy. So they want the nuts and bolts, essentially, of how they're going to build this. Keeping in mind, they gave a little detail about the Ask US panel, and it's a proposed project that involves designing, building, and maintaining a new probability sample of US adults who, and this was what I thought interesting, who are not members of an existing survey panel.
Oh.
Yeah. I hadn't seen that before. Had you?
No. This should be something the entire industry is talking about. It kind of is under the radar. I think people should be very aware of what's happening here. And kudos to Insight Association, and especially Howard, who's always been leading this. He's awesome. We don't have a team of people like Howard. We just have a Howard. So, and also a good job by the Senate Appropriations Committee. I'm sure that's bipartisan. So great job. I mean, those are extremely valuable concerns, I would think. So I think this Ask US panel is really bad for our industry, first of all. And I would hope that everyone in the industry understands that. And if you wanted to write your senator, if you wanted to write your congressperson or somebody, that would be awesome. That's how we can support it, or become a member of the Insight Association. Talk to Howard about what other things we can do, because this would compete with our industry, the private sector. And it is really hard for the private sector to compete with the public sector when obviously they're already changing the scope and it's millions of dollars. It's pretty crazy how much money this would be. They don't need it. Our industry does a fine job doing all the things that the US Census can do. And to build their own panel is ridiculous, especially if they're trying to build it. You have to can't be a member of another panel. I mean, good luck with that. You're trying to find people to agree to take a survey that doesn't take surveys. I mean, get in line, buddy.
Our industry has been doing that for years, trying to find more people.
Well, not just trying to find more people, just like somebody that I need to find someone to give us their opinions and information that has never done it before. But good luck with that, or hates doing it, or refuses to do it.
And if it's a probability one, isn't there specific quotas and things they're going to need have filled for this?
You can't do a probability panel with that restriction. Number one, you can't do it. There are online panels that claim to be a probability-based panel. You can argue the merits of that, but that exists. And I don't think the public sector should be doing that if that's something that already exists. Yes, if it's a probability panel, then everybody should have an equal chance of joining it. And to take away people that are already a member of a different panel, it seems really crazy to me. Why wouldn't you want their opinions? Are their opinions less valid? There'd be quotas on everything. And in theory, it would be representative. I'm sure that they would probably, instead of having, they probably only need a few hundred thousand people. I mean, a few thousand people in the panel is all they really need. But knowing the government, they'd probably shoot for 100,000 people, and it would cost three times what they thought it would, and they'd get a third of what they had hoped for. I like what Howard said, could waste millions of taxpayer dollars in a vain attempt to compete with existing online research panel providers. So most of you listening, this is really bad for us. So I hope that this gets killed by the Appropriations Committee, and buy Howard Feinberg a drink if you see him out there.
Yeah, the other quote in this was attributed to the Insights Association. So I have to imagine either Howard, Melanie, or someone that speaks for them is the Insights Association says it remains, quote, gravely concerned about the shaky rationale and lack of need for the Ask US panel. The Census Bureau should be using the competitive marketplace of available Insights services to acquire pre-existing research services on an as-needed basis, which would reduce public burden, save years of development time, and ultimately cost taxpayers a lot less money.
Perfect, right?
Yeah.
Well said. That's saying what we've said over the past 5 minutes a lot quicker and more efficient. But yeah, completely agree. Good job for the Insights Association to be very bold publicly. And I hope others will as well. And become aware of this. I should probably post something on LinkedIn about it to tag a few people. I think we can get something going. And I am a public figure.
I know. Use your second job. Right. Get the word out.
Yeah, but I love this article. It's just very interesting to me what is likely to happen if it's not killed.
And we will put a link to this article in the show notes as well for everyone to give it a read. I mean, we've covered 90% of it, what it says, but still for people now, you can always go back and reread it and maybe go dig into it a little more.
Yeah, I'm sure if you Google the Ask US panel, tons of information out there beyond the Insights Association too. So is that it?
That is it.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Probably won't be back next week. It'll probably be a couple of weeks. We'll do a recap of the Insights Association of the Georgia Future of Insight Summit. We'll start previewing the North Central Insights Association Conference, which is in Chicago, September 7th through 9th. I'll be at that one. And thanks for listening. Everybody have a good week.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.